so much of this walk of faith is just pending on whether or not we just keep moving. And things go wrong and things don't work right. But do we have something in front of us, that purpose my daughter was talking about? Do we have a God-given sense inside that we're going to a destination that nothing is going to stop us from it? Doesn't matter how many forces are against us or what we do to ourselves. We maybe trip ourselves up sometimes. But the fact is we got to keep moving forward. And I know Jamaica has been one of those things over the years. We've done missions there. And sometimes it feels like, you know, we hit something, but then we just keep going and we send different people, different faces and different anointings, and things are just moving there. And so I don't want to take any more of you guys' time, and I don't know who's taking this thing first. Daddy Donald's going to grab it first. Well, let's welcome them back from Jamaica.
Come on, somebody bless the Lord. Come on, and somebody bless the Lord.
Come on.
Ah, boy, what a trip. And what a trip, and, you know, what an amazing thing that is happening in Jamaica. I'm just so blown away. Like Josh said, I mean, I think it was Kerry and Chris that went in 2009 with Kiana and all the kids, and it was the year after that that I came behind them. And then I met this lady, and I met this bishop over there. And ever since then, I mean, it's just been amazing what God has been doing through this church for the island of Jamaica. And I remember when Josh and I talked about it, and he said, I just don't want you to build buildings. He said, I want you to put Kingsfire footprint on the island of Jamaica. X, can you roll that thing? And we're just going to show you some stuff first. Hold on. The guy over here, lady on the, go back one way. That's the bishop in there, and the lady on the front. That's, they have been courting. Let me tell you something. It's amazing how God makes you see something. They had a tent. This lady walked in. Me and Gilly's on this elevated platform. This lady walks in, sits on the back row there, all right? When she was in all white, I was telling her what happened this week. I was with her. She sits down. I look over. I look at this guy. His face goes like just glowing, man. So last year I kept messing with him. I said, who is that? That girl? Oh, not no one, man. No one. I said, brother. I said, that's not no one. I said, when that woman sat down, man, you look like the sun came up in there. But anyway, on this trip, just right quick, and then we'll get into it. They've been having contention because, see, you have to understand, what God is doing over there doesn't happen in the magnitude that it's happening. And the devil has stirred up so much after the last year since we got there. So through the whole thing, I had to counsel him and her and, you know, some of the leaders, you know, just keep settle everything down because it was getting really haywire over there. But anyway, yesterday, all right, I had a meeting with them on, when did we get home? Friday. I had a meeting on them Friday, so Friday night, you know, after the service. But he went to the airport with us yesterday, all right? So now he went from nobody, man. And I said, hey, listen, when we leave yesterday, I said, take care of my girl. And he looked at me, he said, that's my wife, he said. So somewhere down the road, they're going to get married. I just want you to understand, we have a family over there. We just don't go over to Jamaica, and we're just helping Jamaicans build a building, a church for the glory of God. This is your family. And all these guys are going to tell you how they were loved, how God is moving. It's just unbelievable what is happening. Go ahead, Ed. Keep going, bro. Yeah, that's the sanctuary that they're worshiping now. Yeah. Now, this guy here, we met these people for the first time. They're out of Houston. That's good. That's how. That's how they support stuff. Daniel's son. That's the church. I'm sorry. That's the church. I was up on top just taking a picture. That's the front of the church looking towards the back there. And what they're doing, they're putting in these grade beams because in there there's going to be a balcony in the back, and there's going to be a balcony in the front, and then there's going to be a walkway going down the side there. Yeah, that's the beltway, they call it, for the balcony that's going to go on top. And that's what it's going to look like. That's what it's going to look like at the end. That's where we're headed. Josh was talking about future. That's where we're headed. That's what we're helping them to do. All right? And their church is big as ours. That church is big as this. And it's just amazing for that to be done on that island that fast. And the people, the whole town down there is like, you guys are amazing. You know, because this just don't happen. 12 years. They've been praying and everything else and fasting and doing all this stuff. And then just from a yes of meeting somebody way back in Runaway Bay to Ocho Rios to Shaw Park Heights to Albion Mountain, all the other churches we assisted with, now on the totally other side of the island, building another building for the glory of God. Amen?
Praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will ever be in my mouth. Let's give glory to him, because he's the one that did it. See, when I was dead, when you were dead in your trespasses, he made you alive, and I hope you're alive today in Christ. First, I want to thank Jesus Christ for everything he's done for us, setting all the gifts in the church. But I'd like to thank all the ones that donated. Thank you so much for what you're giving, because, you know, it means so much to the people over there. Thank you for everybody that contributed. And I mean, from the top to the bottom, I had someone, I was telling the story, and he had 16 cents in his pocket, and he gave me the 16 cents. But he's in the mission, just like somebody that gave $5,000 or $2,000. I had a guy in Adams just give me $10. I walked in, he handed me $10. He said, here's for some block, you know. So it's happening over there. And they're so appreciative of what's going on. I mean, the things that's happening over there, you got to realize that church was only that high. You know what I mean? And for lack of plywood, they would even went further. They said, you know, we got to take it down. We got to redo it and everything. But, I mean, they're moving. This is only in 9 months. So I want to thank everyone in the King's Fire Church for contributing. I have to thank my brothers for cutting grass while I was gone, right? I want to thank the people in hospitality. I want to thank the people in the pantry. I want to thank the ushers and every single person in here that's making it happen, because we're all part of this body. This is what's making it happen. All right? That's a beautiful hospital we're building over there. I mean, church. All right? But if you read about in Ephesians where it talks about he's equipping the saints, all right? The church has had to join a little bit. Jesus Christ making the adjustments. All right? So it's going to be a beautiful hospital. That's why we come when we get sick. So I want to thank each and every one of you here today. It's awesome what you've done. I give you praise for what you've done. Thank you so much. Don't make me sing that peanut butter and jelly song, man, because I'll do it.
Good morning, saints. How are you today? Amen. I just wanted to say this. The Lord really put the A-team together, because we were all totally different. Totally different. But we loved each other. We hang each other. And we ate and we drank lots of water together. It was brutal. But I just want to say, start with this. I know I got 5 minutes. Please give me six. I'm just messing with you. Hannah was saying something this morning that struck a note on my heart. She said that she loves when she sees people coming in ready to serve the Lord. And he hit me like a bucket. Because I remember seeing all these Jamaican people coming from afar. Right? We come in cars. If it's hot, we put the AC. If it's cold, we put the, you know what I mean. Because I got short time. But we come in here nice and clean. They start clean, but they come to church dusty. There's no roads. Sweaty. It hurts. Your calves, they're drinking water that is hot. It's not even cold. But when they get there, pastor can testify on this. We start at 7, but it's 11:30 at night. They're still worshiping the Lord. With a joy. And I'm like, Lord, this is unbelievable. The last day I was there, I mean, so many things that we can stay here saying. But the last day I was there, I went up. Some of us went fishing. Some of us stood behind, relaxing. But the Lord was tickling me, go up to the fence. It's like this giant windmills. And I didn't think it was that far. But as I was going in there, I was like, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I really couldn't take it. And it was almost like 10 miles already going towards them. I walked almost 17 miles to the mills. It took me almost 7 hours to get there. But as I was going up, it was like almost 80 degrees. The steepness. And it was really hot. There was no more road. And I couldn't take it anymore. The Lord is like, keep going. Keep pushing. I'm pushing you. And I'm like, Lord, I can't. Every stop I made, it was to eat mangoes. It was unbelievable. When I actually finally made it to the top, I was crying. I was like, Lord, this is beautiful. This is what you do. And the Lord says to me, what do you see? I wish I can show you my pictures. And I said, I see dryness because he's so dry. They call it mango heat, by the way, this season in Jamaica. And I'm like, I see so much dryness, Lord. Wow, this people really needs water here. And again, I hear that voice, what do you see? And then I started like really deeply looking into this land. And then trees started popping up. Beautiful, beautiful trees. Guava trees, which I partake on. Mango, lots of mango trees all over the floor. And I said, Lord, I see a lot of fruits. He said, that is right. That's what you are. That's what you saints in here are too. We are mango trees planted on the dryness. So when someone comes to us, we are to give the fruit that we have, which is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are to give them the food that we have in our hearts. Don't complain, because they come to you complaining. All you got to do is give them a little piece of that fruit. Give them Jesus. And that Saturday, the Lord crushed me. Everyone that was there saw this, and I have not. I got to talk to Pastor. But I was being pressed on. I was crying. I just couldn't bear this anymore. And the Lord says to me, I'm not going to let you go until I continue to squeeze Jesus out of you. We complain. We complain because the world is squeezing us. Our car breaks down. AC is broken. We have no water. My IC broke. Really? They don't complain. They wish they can give more time and more money to the church to build this building. When the world squeezes you, give them Jesus juice to the hell. Bless you guys.
All right, so I got 90 seconds to get this in. Thanks, Ish. All right, so this is my first missions, and I gotta say, it was unbelievable. I went there on faith, right? We take a step out. And just to steer back to Josh, he started off this morning with, and this just kind of just blends everything together to know that we are all plugged into the same spirit, because he's talking about new beginnings, right? Friday night, what did they pray on us for? They anointed us with the number 8, which is in the Bible defined as new beginnings. What was yesterday's date landing in the States? June 8th. They had an anointing over us, over this entire church, that was just like, when I tell you, we worship hard here, and they worship, it's endless. I mean, we were sitting there on Sunday, which was the hottest day, because we were like, oh, we're going to come, and we're going to dress up, and we're going to have pants. Well, that was bad. 6 hours into it, I'm like, right now, I guarantee you, somebody at the church is like, they need to turn this AC down. Okay, we got no AC. Okay, you've seen the pictures. It's tent, a metal roof, and tarps on the side. Okay, it just proves to me that it doesn't matter where you're worshiping. It's a building. We are the church, right? So the new beginnings really just, Friday was powerful. I mean, when I say powerful, I felt at one point I felt I was floating. I mean, it was unbelievable. The spirit was so heavy. And when we were there, I mean, they called us up and they called the team up, and they had the bishops from Houston. Yeah, Houston. And he pulled our hands out. They anointed our hands with the oil. And it's funny because they were like, they're getting that oil. You guys better get your raincoats on. It's going to splatter everywhere. But it's just a different power that I felt that I brought back to us. And when I say, if you're sowing, I mean, to go there is just absolutely amazing. But to sow into this mission means more. It's not about us. It's not about Gilly, Pastor Don. It's not about us. It's about what is being built on the other side of the states that we take for granted to a point. You know, and they don't even have to have a roof. They would still praise just as hard. So that's what I felt that I brought back. But it so into this mission, because it's going to be worth every part of it. I mean, the anointings that we brought back, knowing what we've done, is going to be absolutely amazing. But thank you, guys.
You know, I love Jamaica. Love it. And for me, it's not that tough. Because I don't take anything for granted. But let me tell you something. When you're flying and those whales touch down in America, there's something about it. All right? There's something about America's heart. You know, there's people in the world that'll call us and say, we want to give this. And we want. See, they want to do something. The people in the world want to do something. They just don't know how to do it. It's for us to show them how to do it. And the way that you show them is the way you live your life. If you let Jesus Christ reside in you, the Holy Spirit reside in you, they'll recognize as soon as you stand up next to them. Like I said before, if we go somewhere and we're carrying the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, if we don't effectuate a change, no matter where we are, then we're not doing what we're supposed to do. They should be able to look at you and recognize what's going on. And we go over there, and it's amazing. Because, you know, me and Don, we're old-time street hustlers. You know that, right? That's why God sent us. See, I take inventory of everything that's going on. We check every block. Your money's being well spent, believe me. You're getting more than what your money's worth. And the blessings that's going to come down on you and pour down on you because of what you're doing, because your heart's so pure, and you know how to pour it out. Because, see, it's Christ. It's Christ. When we go over there, they're amazed that we give them things, we give them stuff, and we don't want anything back. They don't understand that. They don't. Usually the world wants something back. We don't want anything. You know, we brought a lot of stuff. We brought shoes. We brought 3 suitcases of clothes, and we left everything there for them. They're amazed by that. That's God. That's not us. That's Jesus Christ. The love of the cross. If you're compelled by the love of the cross, you'll do the same thing. And it's amazing, because I always wanted something back when I gave something away. It's such a great thing to do. So I want to let you know that what you're doing is amazing, because there are brothers and sisters over there. You know what I mean? Just because they're far away, they don't mean nothing. They're in Christ. We're in Christ. Same Father. So just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm so proud of you guys, man, because it's awesome. You know, Kingsfire Church, they see that banner. They go wild. They want to take pictures, you know. Then they set me and Donnie up there, right? It was amazing. I went to church the other night. The pastor from Houston, Texas. And I want to sit right up front because this guy, you know, he brings the word. And he comes walking over to me and he goes, Brother Gil, you know, you're the only Caucasian in the church. I turn around and I look. I say, you're right. You're right. Where'd my brothers go? Where are they? But, you know, it's one spirit. Doesn't matter the color. Doesn't matter what the color is. Because, you know, there ain't no color in Jesus Christ.
Grab the mic. Praise God. It's, you know, this whole, yeah, just set it right here for a minute so I can just speak a little bit. Thank you, brother. You know, it's just so amazing hanging out with these guys, and especially this guy here, man. This guy never changes no matter where we go. But, but you know, sometimes, you know, even with faith that you can, You know, no matter how gifted you are, anointed, no matter how much you know about the God and, you know, and everything like that, that sometimes, you know, you be pushing and pushing and doing things and you be saying, God, you know what I mean? I just want to make sure I'm in your will and everything like that. How many know the security guard at Kingston Hospital, the round-faced God? How many know Dean? All right? He works at Kingston Hospital. So I was up there to go see a friend of mine. And I was talking to him, and I'm saying, yeah, man. I said, I'm getting ready to go to Jamaica. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to St. Elizabeth. He's like, what? He goes, that's where I'm from, man, you know? So he goes, go down to Billy Bay, all right? He said, that's where I'm from, which is around the corner, you know, down there right by our swimming hole, all right? Because we like our big pool that God gave us. We go down there. There's absolutely nobody down there but us, all right? You know, and so we've been swimming there 2 years, you know, come to find out, the bishop tells us, there's gray sharks today. You know, there's gray sharks there. And so I just look at it, I said, we've been going there 2 years, and now you're going to tell me that there's gray sharks in there. I said, nice. But they're only little guys, but they chase all the fish. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, so he told me, he said, yes. He said, my family's saved. He said, you go down to Billy Bay. And he said, you tell my family, all right, that I sent you. And he said, they're going to take care of you, right? So we go to the airport this time. We always have a driver. So we had this guy named Ewan. And he comes and picks us up, introduces to everybody. So we're driving, and we're almost there to St. Elizabeth. And I started talking about Dean, right? And I'm talking about Dean. And I said, you know, this guy told me to go down to Billy Bay, and his name is Dean Clark. He goes, that's my first cousin. The van driver, who I've never met before in my life, says, that's my first cousin. And he's coming in Friday. You know that, right? Yeah, I knew that. I said, yeah. I said, hopefully I see him. And then Dean showed up on Friday. He came to the house that we were there. And he came to see all of us, but he came and he seen me. And it's just, you know, I just want, the reason why I said that is because sometimes keep going. God is always going to affirm or confirm that you're in the right place doing the right thing by connections. You know, and now we have a whole family. I get to meet his uncle, Dean's uncle, and everything. But it's just amazing that what is happening down there. And I told them that when they dedicate that church, because now I'm believing in faith by next year that church is going to be built. What you seen, that finished product, by faith, next June, all right? And they have, their praise and worship team sings all the same songs that we sing, and they just put that calypso stuff in it, and you know, you be. And so I said, you know, I said, this is amazing. I said, you know what? Here's what's going to happen. I said, when we get that church built and you dedicate that, I told him, I said, this is going to be a double thing. This is going to be crazy. I said, because we're going to dedicate the church and you're going to be married to it the same day. He just looked at me. But, yeah, but I told him, I said, because I'm going to bring our praise and worship team over there together with them and explode that place. But see, you have to understand, because it's down by the sea, but they're going to affect the whole thing. It's already happening. Because people who left are now coming back. And I told them, everybody loves a winner, man. When that thing is done, I said, you're not going to have enough room. But the vision is not only, he's a great visionary too. The vision is not only just for the church. The vision is also for a Bible college. What happened to the club? no, I'm not right. Okay. You know, it's for a Bible college. He has you know, the building is going to be upper story. He has a vision to have a barbershop, to have, you know, an internet cafe for all them, all the people who are aspiring to go to school and to be different places. And I told him, I said, listen, this place is going to be the launching pad for disciples going through the rest of Jamaica. And all of us are part of that. All right, all of you are part of it. It's not just about me because I got the connections in Jamaica. It's all about all of us. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says that the strong bear the weak. All right, we are, you know, the most affluent nation in the world. And, you know, it's up to us to get behind people. And these are great people. And the guy, he has great integrity. You know what I mean? He's a great young man. He's only 33 years old. All right, and he's a great man, and I don't just connect myself to people because I've been going to, I told him, I've been going to Jamaica since 1978. My friend married a Jamaican girl when I got out of high school 3 years ago. All right, not 3 years ago. When I got out of high school, after 3 years, I got out of high school. It wasn't 3 years ago. But anyway, I've been going to Jamaica with Fern Gully. All those who went with us, you know Fern Gully, right? I went to Jamaica with Fern Gully, was growed up so tight that you needed headlights to go through there. It was like going through a tunnel, but it was all fern. So I told them that. They said, well, you are Jamaican now, man. I said, all right. So, but it's just amazing, you know, like I said, what God is doing, because their theme of the conference was at a Haggai when God spoke to the church about a greater glory. All right, that was the theme of the whole thing. And it was at a greater glory. So I preached Sunday morning. I, you know, set the tone, because sometimes we hear messages and we hear everything and we hear about these great prophets and everything like that. But sometimes we don't understand the reason why God speaks to his people the way that he speaks to them. So at Haggai, the purpose that God wrote to them was to motivate God's people to reorder their priorities. They were still God's people, but their priorities were out of order. To complete the temple and to restore the proper worship that they could then expect the blessing of God. See, when you're out of order, I don't care who you are, how saved you are, when you're out of order with God, don't expect God to bless you. God is not going to bless anything that is out of order. Does everybody understand that? We have to make sure who we understand, who we praise, who we worshiping, who's that, because it was very important to God to speak to his people. Because you got to remember, the nation of Israel was supposed to show the rest of the world the evidence of God in the earth. And that's what the modern day church is all about, that we are the ones that show the rest of the world the evidence of a living God. Because you can talk about him, but if there's no evidence in your life that you know this God. All right? Evidence is proof. Show me the evidence. When you go to court, they're going to bring the evidence why you're guilty, or try to make a case why you are. So also, you know, I said to them that it was amazing to me that he said that you have to reorder your priorities to complete the temple, to restore the proper worship. Amen? When we worship God, it has to be profitable. And also, the theme was a sharp rebukes of their neglect to rebuild the temple, coupled with the cheering exhortations and the promise of the undertaking of the work. Because we have a big undertaking that we're doing. And the same way I got enough faith for that building next year, I got enough faith for what we're going to do. Because, see, my mentality, I'm just like Caleb. Caleb said at 85 years old, I remember the promise at 40 years old. He said, I'm 85. I'm still just as strong as I was back then. And he told Joshua, now give me the promise. Give me the hill country where the giants is at, and I'm going to go up there and do what has to be due. See, there's giants in front of us, if you allow them to be. King's Fire. Just like that church that we're building in Jamaica is going to affect that whole area down there, we're going to affect this whole area around us here. And there's going to be challenges, and there's going to be things coming. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff. But we have to reorder our priorities when it comes to God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things are going to be added to our life. And I just want to make sure that as a pastor of this church, that everybody, I don't care who you are, think about it. Pray about it. God, am I realigning with you? Is my life in order with you? I want the blessings of God. See, because God said, unless you reorder yourself and get your mind on my things and get your mind on their things, because he said, he asked them a question in Haggai 1. He says, is it a time for you to live in paneled houses and my house go to waste? Because you have to remember what Paul said. The mystery that has been hidden for ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, they built a second temple. They remember what happened with the first temple when the Shekinah glory came in there and the priests could not minister. They were praying in the second temple for the same glory, for the same glory to come in. But God would not release it because God was releasing it in Christ. God was releasing it in his church. God's releasing it in his people. This building has nothing to do with the church of the living God. This is just the place that we assemble. You are the church of the living God. You have to understand, just like I have to understand, that I can't get it twisted. I carry the glory each and every day of my life. I was talking to somebody down there, and I was telling him, I said, son, let me tell you something. I said, the anointing is precious. I said, if you do not guard what God has placed inside of you. So you have to understand how God felt about the temple. You have to understand how God feels about you. Because now Paul says that, do you not know that you are the temple of the living God? God always wanted to dwell with his people, the same way he dwelt with Adam. See, most people don't understand. This is about relationship. This ain't about religion. This ain't about rules and regulations. Don't you do that. Oh, you doing that. You doing that. Oh, he ain't a Christian. Look at this is about relationship. From the account of Genesis. And like I told them down there, here's what I want everybody to do. Four words. In the beginning, God. Is that four? Four. In the beginning, God. For the next 30 days, I just want you to meditate on that. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Every day of your life for the next 30 days. And then start reading what comes after that. And I guarantee that your life is going to align with God. Because you know what's the problem with this world? They don't believe that there is a God. That's why everybody does what they want to do. Everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. That's why you want to marry everybody you ain't supposed to be marrying. You understand? Because people don't believe there is a God. And there's probably a whole bunch of church folks don't believe the same thing. But yet we call ourselves Christian. We going to heaven. We going there. No. God said your life is out of order. You need to line back up with me. In the beginning, God, I'm the creator. He told them, and hey, guy, listen, I know you're building your house. He said, but let me tell you all something. The gold's mine, the silver's mine, it all belongs to me. We have to get back to the place of divine ownership. God, you own it all. You own me. You own my mind, my heart, my soul, everything that's about me, God. It belongs to you. I want to give it to you. I want to glorify you. Why? Because the greater glory has showed up in my life. When you understand, God, how precious God sees you, how God precious sees his church, how God sees you as individuals, different colors, ethnic backgrounds, everything. But you all have the glory. If you truly said yes to Jesus, you have the glory. Paul said the same spirit that dwelt in Jesus is the same spirit that raised him from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in you. But the thing that confuses us is because we have problems. You're going to have problems. Trials and tribulations you will have. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. God's looking for some overcomers. God's looking for people who is ready to draw the line in the sand and say, God, no matter what, I'm going to glorify you, dear God. I want to see your glory. I want to see the greater glory evidence in my life every day of my life. God, if I have to cry, if I have to crawl, if I have to stay up all night, God, I don't care what it is. I ain't moving until I see your glory in my life. The greater glory. That's what you have to go for. Not another house, not another car, not a relationship. I'm so sick. I really am, because people of Christ don't realize what you got. Because the glory of God is what you're taking into eternity. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? Never. Never. Except for this crazy man my stepfather used to tell me about who got buried in his Cadillac. But I want you to understand how precious you are in God's sight. How precious God's temple was. He had to remind them. The temple is mine. God always wanted to tabernacle with us, and he is through the cross of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That should be the most precious thing that you think about, because that's the only thing, like I said, that's going to eternity. We serve an eternal God, not a temporary God. All this stuff that we're going through, this life and everything, yeah, it's great, but it's only temporary. Paul said, eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard, or even entered into your heart, the things that God has prepared for you. God got great prepared for us. This world is out of whack Because it's unrighteous. We serve a righteous God. You think when Jesus shows up on that throne of righteousness that things are going to be out of order? No, they're not. Everything is going to come back in order. But you know how it starts? It starts with us. It starts with us looking seriously, looking at our lives and saying, God, show me, Lord. Show me the things in my life like you talked to Hagar. Show me the things, dear God, that I am putting in priority above you. Show me relationships. Show me whatever it is, God, what's in front of you. And help me to realign my life, Holy Spirit. Because I truly believe that God wants to do greater than what we're doing. I mean, listen, I love this church. I love Josh and Elaine. That's my brother. That's my sister, Chris, and all the rest of the pastors and everything here. You know how people, let me tell you something. Sometimes I told them down in Treasure Beach, I said, you are very unique as individuals. When you see these, the praise and worship team they got, how they mix the songs that we got into the old hymns and everything like that, I'm blown away. I have never seen that in my life. I used to go to Africa twice a year since 2002 to 2007. I have never, and they harmonized. You ain't going to beat the Africans that harmonize, right? I don't care what you, man. You ain't beating them. I'll tell you that right now. But I've never seen a praise and worship team so unique in this day and era that takes the old and gets it with the new and blends it in the way. That's why they praise for 4 or 5 hours. Because it's just when you're in it, you don't even know you're in there. It's because the glory shows up. See, when God shows up, there is no time. When God shows up, you are caught on him. You're magnified by him. And but, you know, you come out and say, Lord, I mean, we didn't get home every night till 11:30, 12 o'clock, 12:30. Last night was off the hook. And how Eugene ministered to, you know, us and ministered. He's talking about David, and he was talking about a new beginning. Yeah, okay, all right. I thought the glory was coming out of there. I had to check myself for a minute. I was like, all right, what's going on here? But, you know, like Chris said, you know, because them guys, Dan will be here, you know, at the next service. You know, just to watch these guys and see how God moved on their lives and how they were truly blessed. But what he was saying about the new beginning, all right, because that whole thing about Saul was, Samuel, God said to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? See, sometimes we mourn for the past. We mourn for the things the way they used to be. But we serve a God that's ever changing, ever revealing himself, taking us to not a new level, but to a new dimension in him. And sometimes the struggles that you have in your life, it's God pulling you to a new level. He knows what he has put inside of you. I mean, a new dimension. He knows what he has put inside of you. But sometimes we resist God. So here's what happened in Samuel, all right? You know all the story about David. He told Samuel, get the horn and go in there and all that. And he said, if Saul knows he's going to kill me, no. God, I got a plan. No, he ain't going to kill you. I got the plan. You just follow my orders. Go get that heifer. Go up to Jesse's house and tell him you come to sacrifice. God had a plan. God had a plan. Because God was doing a new thing. And God wants to do a new thing in our life, Kingsfire. You hear me? God wants to do a new thing. But we have to understand what God does. I always tell people, God's a God of two P's, pattern and principle, throughout the whole Bible. Once you see God's principle, you're going to see the pattern go throughout the Bible. Anyway, what you call Samuel gets there. He talks to Jesse. He says, come on. But first he said the amazing thing. He told him, listen, consecrate yourself. If you want God to do something in your life, consecrate yourself. When Joshua and them were getting ready to cross over, consecrate yourself. Turn that plate over. Go into a time of fasting. You want God to move in your life, consecrate yourself. So he could see himself and not you. And so what happened was they had the celebration. They started bringing all these boys through and everything. You know, and the first one, Samuel said, this must be him. God said, don't move. That ain't him. That ain't him. Good looking guy, handsome, like me. You know what I mean? But no, joking. All right? But understand, because he told him, he said, let me tell you something, Samuel. Man don't see as I see. He said, man looks at the appearance. See, because sometimes that's who we are. We visual and we only look at the appearance. He'll be good there, she'll be good there. He said, no, because God looks at the heart. God is looking at each and every one of our hearts. So they prayed at every, there were seven. Seven boys went through. And his spirit was not right. And he said, are you sure these are all your sons? And he said, no, I got one more. And even the father said, but, and all of some people in here had a lot of buts in your life. But you're not pretty enough. You ain't smart enough. You ain't this. You ain't that. But he's just a young boy, and he's out there. He said, go get him. Here come David into the house, smelling like sheep, because he'd been like that. Probably had a little bit of sheep stuff on him and everything else. But see, when you're God's man, you're God's man. And when you're God's daughter, you're God's daughter. The world might not look at you. People might not look at you. But God sees you right where you are. And it was so powerful because this guy brought a little boy up. And he put all seven of us, our team, and a couple other people around. And he was telling us of the story. See, because it was a new beginning. Saul had disobeyed God. And the prophets were still crying. See, because we can get connected to men and women of God. Same way with Isaiah. It said, in the year that Uzziah died, that Isaiah seen the Lord high and lifted up. See, because you can get people blocking God's glory for being in your life. Because they become more important in your life than God comes. Like I said, pattern and principle, right? Saul, Isaiah. About people, kings, in your life. What's in your life blocking you from you seeing the glory of God? Because in both incidents, and what he said was that the Spirit left Saul the moment he put the oil on David. See, when God fires you, you're fired. You're fired. And I know a guy that I was very, very close to, very close, God fired him. And till this day, great man of God can preach the heavens open, strong anointing, everything else. But when you're fired by God, you're fired. But I wasn't one. I was very connected to them. I wasn't one because I'm not connected to man. I'm connected to God. And that's what all you should be, connected to God. But here's the thing. God is doing a new beginning. David was a new beginning of anointing and everything else. Why? Because David represented Jesus Christ. He was a type of Christ because he said, told David, that you are the one that there will be a king sitting on my throne forever. And that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus Christ. Full of glory, full of truth. And guess what? If anyone be in Christ, you are what? New creations. Old things have passed away, and everything is coming new. God wants us all to start walking in the newness of life. God wants us all to start walking in a new dimension. God wants us to start praying in a new dimension. If things are going to happen the way God wants it to happen, then we have to go into that next dimension. All right? Because the transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly, when you're a caterpillar, you can only see things from a ground level. But when you become a butterfly, there's a totally different perspective of the way that you see. I don't know who I'm talking to, but listen, God's about to elevate you. God's about to elevate your life, things in your life. If you just reprioritize your life and get back in order with God and truly start worshiping God for who he is and not for things and not for anything else, just because you are, that song, because of who you are. Just because of who you are, God, and watch what's going to happen in your life. That's the only way we're going to make it. It ain't got nothing to do with us, our strategies and all that stuff. We can do it with the bankers and all this and start doing all this and all that. No. When you get in that next dimension, in the next dimension is everything that we need to build that church debt-free. Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you listening? If you're listening, say amen. You think God has us over in Jamaica sowing seeds the way we are for us to be indebted? No, I don't think so. Because like I said, you read that Genesis account. Everything that God created had a seed. To what? Reproduce. What we're doing over there, God's going to do over here. Because what you make happen for somebody else, God is going to make it happen for you. And I believe that with all my heart. We can build that church debt-free. So that the other stuff we got could go into the community. To go in and rescue those who are perishing. That's God's whole plan. He's doing a new thing. Rise to your feet. He's doing a new thing. You got to believe it, church. Father, we just thank you. First of all, if there's anybody in this building don't know why I'm up here acting as fool as the way I am, it's because I'm saved by Jesus Christ. And there's somebody that walked through these doors, maybe somebody brought you here for the first time, and you don't understand that God had a great love for you. He created you to be just like him. God did not just create a man. He created another creator. You have creative power. You have creative ability. But until you tap into it, you're not going to know. So if there's somebody here who's never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, today is your day. The Bible says, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And if that's you, just put your hand up. I've never given my life to Jesus, but I feel something stirring in me, and I want to know who he is. If that's you, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up. All right? All right. Well, praise God. Everybody knows the Lord. So, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, oh God, that you're taking us into a new dimension, into a new place. God, we thank you for this new beginning, dear God. The number 8 represents the day of a new beginning. Just like you did with David, dear God. Just like you have always done, dear God, a new beginning. So, Father, I just pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would bless my brothers and sisters. Lord God, that you would just raise them up, dear God. Help them to realize that you want to take them higher. You are taking them higher, dear God. That there's a greater glory living inside of them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody, come on, church. Say, Christ in me. The hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Come on, praise God, praise God. Because you got the goods. You got what it takes. 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 Everybody in this building got what it takes. You might not get on a plane and go to Jamaica, all right? But financially, you can help us to do what we're doing. Maybe your call might not be to Jamaica. Your call might be just to go down the street. Your call might be just to start letting the glory show up at your job, in your home, in your neighborhood, whatever it is. He's in there. Let him out. Let the glory flow through you, through your love, through your words, because that's what's going to change our area, our state, our nation, and that's what's going to change the world. Because God so loved the world. And we have to start loving the world, church. We have to start loving the world. Amen? Amen. Bless you, bless you, bless you.